Are you congratulating yourself because this is what I told you to do and you did it? Don't do that. That's hard because obviously you feel good about doing what God tells you to do. Is there any such thing as something that you can, yes, like selfless, super selfless?
Welcome to Study with Friends, a weekly dive into the questions and answers we find in the Bible, the church, and the broader Christian faith. I'm Paige, and currently we are on week 6 of an in-depth study of the Sermon on the Mount. This study is different in that it is an 8-week study with 5 daily recordings to help foster a deeper understanding of how we are called to act as citizens of Christ's kingdom. If you would like the homework to get more info or to listen to past episodes, you can find that and more on our website, studywithfriends.org.
We are in week 6, which is a big chunk of scripture, Matthew 6:1-24. Last week, we really started moving with more speed. So this is a bit of a large chunk, but what it breaks down to is really teaching on 4 things: giving, prayer, fasting, and treasures. Your Bible might say treasures in the heading. I was thinking about it, and sometimes I think it's better to call that treasuring, because it's about valuing things, especially when we look at it in a week structured with giving. Also, what's the difference between giving and treasures? So we'll get into that. But that's the overview of what we're doing this week. So Jesus teaches us basically that we should be humble and quiet about the way that we go about these things, not haughty or self-righteous or publicly gratuitous about our religious practices, our kingdom obedience. And so I want to start with Matthew 5:16, because that was a scripture that indicated maybe we should be public with our faith. And so I want to talk about that. Kathy, would you read Matthew 5:16, and then let's unpack it?
Sure.
Thanks.
So I put my thing right over it. Okay, so Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Okay, so do you think there's a contradiction here between this? And why don't you guys summarize for me what you think the teaching is here on kingdom religion, the proper way to execute obedience to the commands that God gives us about fasting and giving and praying and how we manage our material things. Do you think there's a contradiction between 6:1-24 and what Kathy just read, 5:16?
I don't. I think it's all about genuineness. And I think there's maybe a bit of a rub because it's sometimes hard to notice the difference between the two, but I think it's about genuine. And so this, I think you genuinely want people to see your practice, your faith, your love of Jesus. And in the other, where it's not a contradiction, it would say, don't practice it just so people can see it. Mm-hmm. I know we talk about this a lot, but the difference is really internal. And so if you genuinely believe, you practice it openly and people will see, which is a good thing, but you don't do it so people can see. Seems like a minor difference.
Yeah.
I also looked at it as maybe the you in let your light shine might be more of a plural you. So let's say you give to your church, but it's the church that does the good. So nobody needs to know who gave to the church, but the church shines the light of Christ.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. I think we are called to let others see our good deeds so that we are glorifying God. But I like your take on it, because if you're giving to another organization and you're quietly giving to that organization, you're not getting the credit.
Right.
And they're doing the work. Cheryl, thoughts on it?
Just slightly different. We can be different things. We can need courage. And you're talking about what we're to be in light of the world. And so it's a encouraging to when you might want to hide, I want you to show. And then this other part is about the reverence and holiness before God himself, and where you want to be a show off, that's where you need to be quiet.
Perfect. So. Yeah. Yeah. You're actually saying the same thing. It's about what is motivating you to show or hide, and be sure that, check your heart, that if you're tempted to hide because you don't want people to know you are a Christian, then you need to fix that. If you're tempted to boast because you want people to think you're great, you need to fix it. So it's internal. Yeah, really good. Thank you. Let's start talking about giving. And I don't know about you guys. Even though I understand and love all the scripture on giving, and I really think that it's important. I actually think it's really important to heed the command about giving. I still get really uncomfortable that week that they talk about it in church. Yeah. Do you too? It's like, oh, why do we get uncomfortable like that?
For me, so this is an easy one for me. I've always been taught, and everyone knows my story, I feel like by now, that I didn't grow up as a believer. I didn't become a believer until I was in my 30s. And in my home, it was like churches always want your money. So then if you, especially if like there's people in there that you aren't really sure if they're believers, not believers, you're like, please stop asking people for money. So it always makes me a little uncomfortable considering that I feel like people are going to judge the church based on it. So maybe it's more, for me, it's more of an outside.
So for you, it's outsiders. A secondhand discomfort for someone who might not understand why it's important.
Right.
Our new practice at our church is that part of the announcements, we don't send like the plate around anymore.
Yeah,
we just do the announcement. Like if you, for your tithes and offerings, there's a thing in the back, pop your thing in the back. But there's like one Sunday, it's like stewardship Sunday, where one of the trustees or one of the elders gets up and says, you know, please do a pledge, let us know so we can budget, which all makes sense to me from a business standpoint. You know, like they need to know, what do you plan to give so they can run a budget? Totally get it. But I guess maybe for me, I feel like the business of the church, I don't know, on Sunday morning, there's a rub. I don't know. It's terrible to say, because I know, like when you were like, the church wants your money, I'm like, yeah, they do want your money. And it belongs to God. So give it through the church. I don't know. There's conflicting feelings. Do you experience that too?
Yeah. I think there's lots of reasons why. I don't think, one, growing up, we were taught well to think about others in that general sense of look to the needy. Like, that's part of your responsibility, the way it's obviously was in the with the Israelites. Yeah. That was part of their culture, from their plants
and
to whatever
you leave. And even the early
church.
Yep. Yeah.
But I also think it's a part of control. Like, we're very independent. And when I give my money, I don't know what you're doing with it exactly. And I want to be in control of that because I worked for it and it's mine. So there's this mystery part, and so a trust thing, and I don't know. I think we'd rather just put it where I exactly know what I'm doing with it.
Yeah. My decisions. Yeah. So giving up agency. Do you get uncomfortable too?
Yeah, although I think I appreciate the way my church does it. Like, it only gets talked about if it's the next part of the scripture that we're going through. Mm. So it's not like, you know, Giving Sunday is like the 1st of September or anything like that. It's just the natural flow of scripture. And it's talked about probably more often because it comes up a lot in scripture.
Yeah.
So, and I think honestly, there's a lot of guilt because people don't give like they should. Mm-hmm. And so they are convicted that
they are not giving generously
to the work of the Lord. So
I think that's common. I think all of us kind of shrink down in the pew when it starts like talking about.
And the pastors say that actually from, I know you're not going to like this sermon, but you have to do it.
Right. Exactly. It's like, but you know what? If we were right-minded about it, we'd love it. We'd love doing it. Mm-hmm. So we're far from it. It's money. Yeah, it's a money thing. Okay, so Cheryl, will you read Matthew 6, 1-4 and see if we can get ourselves right about it?
Sure. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Okay, so I'm glad we unpacked the fact that earlier in the sermon, Jesus said, be public, and now it says, actually be in secret. So I think we'll keep unpacking that a little bit, especially that business about your left hand and your right hand. We're going to look at that really carefully. Do you hear this as a suggestion or a command? Let me ask it that way.
Well, I'm going to say it's a command because it says when you give to the needy, not if you give to the needy.
Exactly. It's when, not if.
So there's certainly an understanding that you're going to give.
Yeah. Yeah, an expectation.
Yeah.
So to support that, I'd love for you, Carol, to read two passages from the Old Testament. One is Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, and the other is Exodus 23:11. To support this when, not if.
So Leviticus is, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes in your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God.
You alluded to that a moment ago. Okay, and then the Exodus 23:11 passage.
But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard.
Okay, so summarize what's happening there. What is the command that God is saying about how to manage your crops?
When they would go through and reap whatever harvest it is, things would get dropped, and they didn't want them to strip the field clean. They wanted them to leave those little edges and things that get dropped so that the poor could, and Ruth does this, right, mm-hmm. in the book of Ruth, the poor could come along, you just stay on the edge of your field, gather for themselves, the sojourner or people who are traveling mm-hmm. who need provision. So it was just the way that the Lord always provided for, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for everyone. And it wasn't a huge cost to the landowner. Yeah, it wasn't like a certain percentage of your field. It was just like just all the little stuff, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, although the little stuff adds up.
It does add up, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, the charities love to say, for a cost of a cup of coffee every day. So that's a great summary.
Now, I'm not sure about this reference to the seventh year.
That's a year of rest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so every 7 years. By the way, that's also just good for the fields.
Mm-hmm. So even the dirt gets mm-hmm.
it. Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Even the dirt gets a Sabbath. Yep. Discuss what God was doing there and what he was teaching and maybe where the disconnect is with us.
Embedded in that is that you have to actually be intentional and plan for caring and plan for the poor. And underneath that, the motivation wasn't really about the people, it was, but it says, do it unto the Lord, do it unto me. It's a service for me because I rescued you and I'm the Lord your God. That's always.
And it all belongs yep. to me anyway.
Yep. Our natural instinct is to take for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like you're right, it seems small, but how many of us find the last penny that's on the floor? But for the most part, there's a truth to that we want every last penny. And so I think it's a reminder to us too. We don't need it because he's provided so much for us already and it's there for other people. And so I think while he's encouraging us to give to them, he's encouraging us also to stop being so desperately needy that he will give us
and
what
not
we need.
Depending.
And don't depend on what you can grow on your own. You've got to be able to give that up
that's
and
really
willingly
good.
And lovingly.
Yeah, that's huge and scary.
Yeah.
And hard because we've talked about this a couple times in this season. Money is a real mm-hmm. source of comfort and control. I like what you said about you have to plan for it. It can't just be like, oh, it's Sunday, time for me to write a check and yeah. I hope it clears. That was a really important little nugget that it has to be something you plan for. It has to be baked in to the way that you operate.
The other thing I wanted to point out is the whole community did it. It wasn't like, well, let's just rely on the wealthy people to, yeah. you know, like even the poor little farmer who had a small field did the same thing. And
so actually, you could see if they didn't.
Yeah. Well, that too. Right.
Right.
Right. Peer pressure.
I also like that it's for the sojourner. So there's something about like, okay, it's for the poor in your community. You could see that. But it's also for anybody passing through this radical hospitality, which actually is still part of the Middle Eastern culture. Okay, Kathy, I'm going to come to you for two passages from John, just to dig into this a little bit deeper. I have John 5:44 and John 12:43, if you would read those.
5:44, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that's from the one and only God?
And then follow it right up with 12:43.
John 12:43 says, for they love the approval of men rather than the approval of God.
So we've been talking about our internal struggles to give and what might be happening inside us and why that might jam us up and keep us from obeying the command to give freely. What's the difference here in your passages? What is John talking about in these two sections? What's the motivator in his exhortation?
Glory from God is the motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
How are they messing it up?
Well, they want glory from men.
Yeah.
I mean, they want people to look at them and go, oh, you're so amazing.
Yeah.
Instead
right.
of just right. sitting back and quietly accepting the glory from God.
So do you want to talk about motivators, like external motivators? Does that lands? I mean, I think it's pretty easy to understand. you know, when a philanthropist is really public about what they're doing, how they're giving, or anybody is public about what they're doing and how they're giving, then they've received their reward. You know, that you got your satisfaction, and that really wasn't, as you said, Cheryl, unto the Lord. You can see where that would happen, right? I mean, that could happen to all of us.
Oh, I went to a church growing up where every pew, or most of them, had a little plaque. This pew was donated by, they do those kind of things. Or my university has all these, like, levels, you know, like, oh, you'll be a Panther level if you give this much. Wow. Or you just, all these ways to motivate and reward you for different levels of giving. And it's interesting. I mean, what motivates us? Like, being recognized at that extent, like, oh, in the back of the magazine, my name was listed.
And it's a fine line, because, so I'm going to give an example. During COVID, this one church where I helped make food, because we weren't leaving the house. And so this one church I was helping with was making food for, like, postal workers or police officers or people that had to be in. And so they were making sandwiches and things like that, which I think is amazing. But they always wanted us to go when we dropped off the food. They wanted us to take a picture, and then they would post it in their bulletin. And so my heart ran in this direction of, like, I felt like they were trying to prove what they were doing. But going to your point earlier, the church then knew where their money was going, right? So there's it's hard to, you know, where was the motivation of their heart? Because the truth is it wasn't bad if they were just letting their church know, this is what your money is doing, this is how we're helping out, just so you know, we're being effective in the community, right? But if their heart was like, hey, we're so amazing, right? So it is a fine line. And I think sometimes it's hard to see externally where that fine line is.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you're right, that's a great motivator to get people to give, because we have so many people to give to.
And even if that picture was put out to the public, it could be a good thing. Like,
right,
hey, look what we do for you. Come and take advantage at our church. Or, hey, aren't we great? We're feeding the police officers and the, you know, so again, it depends on.
It just depends.
Oh, it's
And we don't get to judge anyone
God
else's motivation,
it.
Right?
Right.
Only
our God own. Knows. Yep.
Cheryl, would you read just 6:3 again? You had the bigger passage of 1-4, but let's hear you in on 3, because it's connected to that glory of God or glory from God or glory from men.
But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Okay, what is that about? I mean, am I supposed to hold one of my hands behind my back?
Right, you can't literally
Does my
not
hand
know what
have
your
a sock
hand
puppet
is.
On it with right. some sort of sentience?
It's sort of a metaphor for let it be an unconscious act, that your own self doesn't know what your own self is doing.
Yeah, I wrote in the homework, because it's a hard, like, we don't, again, we don't even have words for this, but it's really the difference between self-righteousness and self-forgetfulness, that even if you're doing it in secret, you might be congratulating yourself that you did it. And what Jesus is saying is that's still the approval of men. It's just the approval of you as a human instead of the approval of God. So you're seeking your own satisfaction of, like, okay, I did what I was supposed to do.
I'm a good person. Mm-hmm.
And that is deep. Honestly, it's way deeper than I want to keep control over my money, which is internal. I want people to see me, which is external. I mean, Jesus does not ever let us off the hook, especially in the sermon. He's like, wait a minute, let's go a layer deeper. Are you congratulating yourself because this is what I told you to do and you did it? Don't do that. That's hard, because obviously you feel good about doing what God tells you to do. Is there any such thing as something that you can, like, selfless, super selfless?
I believe your heart can become selfless in the act. And I don't think it's all the time, and I don't think we're always there. And I mean, obviously that would be perfection, but I do believe there are moments where you can selflessly give. And I believe the more you selflessly give, I believe that comes more naturally. And I say naturally, more through the Spirit of God. I want to be very clear that it's all through the Holy Spirit.
It has to be, because it's so anti our human flesh.
Right.
So it's the Spirit of God that enables us to be Christ-like. But as you continue to practice, like you were saying, it grows. So,
and given that there's a spiritual gift of giving, I think those people who have that gift either generally have that gift, or in certain instances have that gift for the moment, they have the ability to have that completely selfless.
I wonder if you guys see an intersection where I see it, which is that if we are planning for it and making it regular and making it almost not something that we even have to think about, we'll just do it because it's part of our lifestyle. If that aids in the reduction of self-congratulations, where you're like, okay, this is just part of what I do. So when I do it, it doesn't feel extravagant or extraordinary to me. And then I don't have to feel like, woohoo, I'm the best.
I like the idea of that regular giving so you don't have to think about it. But the other hand, I don't want it to ever be like a little check mark, like, oh, that just comes out of my account. I don't even have to think about it. God doesn't want our giving to be something we don't have to think about.
Depends what you're, if you're talking about giving money to a church, you're talking about having an attitude in life of giving that I'm always,
because it's never like, okay, what percent, all right, check, you know, I gave that percent, you know. I mean, nothing in here talks about a tithe, a 10% or anything like that,
so. I even meant bigger than that, just giving as an attitude of whether it's inviting people over and sharing food or missionaries or whatever, that just that heart of, that's how I live my life.
Keep your eyes open to see where could I be giving.
Right, because, and being intentional and planning for it.
Right. I was gonna say, even in some of what you're saying, because our hearts are turned unfortunately so wicked, we can go, well, I give every week there, so then I squeeze up over here because I don't have the heart of giving, I have the habit of giving. While I think that is great, I think that we, that intentionality in the heart and the spirit needs to come with it as well. So it is multifold. And you're right, Jesus keeps going lower. Like, it's not one level. It's, you have to keep deeper, thinking about it and be intentional. And it has to hurt a little bit too, right? Like, it can't be easy. It can't just be what you feel comfortable giving at times either. So sometimes you need to hurt a little.
Yeah. I'm struggling with sharing this because it seems self-congratulatory, but... I'm going to share it because I think, I mean, I didn't do this except through the motivation of the Spirit, and I didn't figure it out. It took me a long time to figure it out. So I sit humbly with this submission of an idea of planning for giving and it not being a big deal. There's a place where I drive regularly enough where people are begging on the corner, and for a long time, I'd be like, oh, I want to give them something, but I didn't have anything because who carries cash anymore? And then from a church, someone was doing like packets. And I was like, oh, I could do packets, like a little toothbrush, toothpaste, socks, whatever. So I did that for a while and I kept them in my car. But that was bulky. So then I started buying in packs of like 100 $10 gift cards to like McDonald's. And I just keep them in my glove box. And I also send them to my girls. And I also often just pack cash if I'm going into a city center because I feel like I know what I'm going to come across. So I should prepare for that so that I can be obedient to what God has called me to do. That idea, of course, that's one way that it could play out. But yeah, that's the idea that, like, I know there's going to be a need. I keep a reserve. You know, if you're prepared for the need, then you're like, oh, there's the need that I knew you would bring across my, yes. And then you're like, oh, thank you for showing me that need. And it's a whole different thing. I just think there's something to be said for expecting it instead of being surprised by it and trying to shuffle something together that is not your best. And God wants us to give from our best.
Thanks again for joining us today on Study with Friends. We hope that you've found some deep truths that will strengthen your walk with Jesus. We here at Study with Friends are modeled more like a small group, and we encourage you to find one through your local church. Make sure to find a church where the Bible is taught in every situation. Study with Friends is a completely donor-supported organization. If you've been blessed by our ministry, would you consider donating? Monthly partnerships are particularly helpful, but no amount is too small. We also love to hear from you. You can stay connected on all the major social media platforms or by email. You can find links to all of these on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you've missed any episodes and are out on the go, be sure to catch the ladies on any of your favorite streaming platforms, or you can catch the ladies via video on YouTube. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time when we study with friends.